Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Let's Talk Tefl podcast. I'm Jackie, and joining me is Jennifer. Hey, Jennifer.
Hi, Jackie.
So we are back. We are talking about first lesson ideas. So what to do on the very first awkward lesson when everybody is so nervous and anxious and not wanting to talk or do anything. So I feel nervous myself actually starting a new class. How do you feel about it, Jen? Do you feel excited or do you feel nervous, or what's your kind of feeling on that first day?
Both. I'm always excited to get the new semester started, but also you never know quite how the mix of students is going to work. Have you got all the troublemakers? Have you got all of the never talk in classers? Or have you got all of the students who need the floor at all times? Generally speaking, the worst fears don't come to pass, and you've got a good mix of kids or adults, depending on the class.
Yeah, and just one thing I would mention is like just based on what you said is don't take things too personally. Like if you have a silent class who doesn't talk ever, and that's not like if you teach classes and that's like one out of your 10 classes that semester or whatever, it's probably not you. So like don't take things too personally. Or if like there's a couple students who are just terrors basically, and like I mean, don't take it too personally. Like students have other things going on in their lives. So it sometimes can be a rough go with some classes. And that's sometimes your fault, but often it's not your fault. So like, yeah, I kind of approach new classes just with like an open mind. And I just kind of think like, oh, it's gonna be a great class and we're gonna interact and have some fun and they're gonna learn some students are gonna learn some English. And but then I also, if things start to kind of go like a little bit south, and I'll try to like make some interventions or make some changes or just kind of adapt to hopefully make it better. But sometimes it's just a struggle, and that's just how it is. Like when I taught in Korean universities, I would say out of like my, I'd often have like maybe 8 or 10 classes a semester. And usually one class was just really tough. And for whatever reason that was. And so I just kind of accepted that as like, okay, this is just my little bit difficult class and that's okay. And that's how it's going to be. And I didn't try to like let it get to me, I guess, or I didn't let it stress me out too much.
Yeah, don't take it personally. I guess unless there's some sort of feedback that maybe it is you, but generally speaking, it I mean
Sometimes it
sometimes it
is.
is. But yeah, generally speaking, they are fully developed human beings of whatever age they are. They've got other stuff going on, and sometimes some of the students, their behavior is due to the interaction of the other students in the class. So if you have had them in a different class or you've seen them in other classes before, suddenly they are not behaving as you would expect. It could have to do with the other students and how they are interacting together and not necessarily to do with you. Or it could be something completely different,
Yes,
unrelated to
that's
school at
true.
all.
All right, Jen. So let's get into the ideas for the first lesson. So you have a bunch of kind of icebreakers. What are some of your favorites that you like to do?
So some of my favorites are Two Truths and a Lie, which if you've ever listened to this podcast before, we kind of love the same icebreakers, but that's because
Yes.
they are really adaptable and they work well. Two Truths and a Lie, students each think of two true things about themselves and a lie that is just as believable or just as unbelievable as the two truths. And they mingle in the class, or they do a small group activity at their tables, depending on how your class is laid out, how you want to run it. And the other students ask them questions and try to figure out what is the lie. Another activity is Would You Rather, which you give students two equally unusual or unpalatable or crazy choices and ask them which they would choose, and then the follow-up question of like why. something where they're not just pointing a finger at one of the choices, something where they have to try and use a little bit of English. And that's kind of a fun way to get to know a little bit of something about the students that's more fun and not real personal. Because some students
And it,
don't enjoy those first day of school activities where it's,
no.
very much all of their personal details and, five of my favorite things and four things I don't like and whatever. They don't like to do that all the time.
It also doesn't have to be unpalatable options. It can also be like
Right.
kind of fun options. Like, would you rather go to the karaoke room or go for a hike or something? Or would you rather like go out for Korean food or Western food or something like that? So it can be like appealing options as well. So I like to kind of have a mix of kind of the fun, crazy ones and then also kind of the fluffy, like kind of easy ones as well. So.
Yeah. And that's one of the things that makes it such an adaptable activity is that you can have, would you rather with activities, and that's just a vocabulary review or something, So, yeah, something to keep in your back pocket. I also like find someone who bingo, and this is where the students have a bingo board and they mingle in the classroom and they try to get bingo that they can fill in the different slots with student names.
I like that too. For sure. Okay, so I have a couple classic kind of icebreakers that I really like. The first one is the expert. So this one is really good for higher level students. So we kind of talk about like an expert. So an expert is someone who knows a lot about a topic, who can kind of do it in their like in their sleep or can do whatever activity it is. So I get students to write down three things that they're an expert in, just on a piece of paper. And then I put students into pairs, and they have to have a 5-minute conversation with that other student about those topics that they're an expert in. And it's a really nice activity, actually, because the students can talk to each other on a deeper level about something that that other, person is passionate about. So they would talk for 5 minutes, and then I would get them to choose another partner and have another 5-minute conversation, and maybe even do it once more. So I like it because at the end of the class, it feels like, if you come into that class and don't know anybody, then at the end of that time, you've talked to three people in depth about their hobbies, about what they love. And so it's like you feel like you actually know somebody in that class, or you know three people. So when you come to class the next time, it's like you're like, oh, that's that person I had that nice conversation with about these things. And you kind of maybe have some common ground or something like that. So it's just a nice way for students to get to know each other on a deeper level. And it's not just talking about like random things about like your whatever, I don't know, what are random things about hobbies or like family or whatever, kind of the standard old things. It's actually talking about what students love to do.
That's a really good idea. I like that. Everyone likes to be an expert. And so getting them to show something off on the first day kind of sets them off.
And it can even be like simple, like some students are like, oh, I'm not an expert at anything. And then I say something like, well, what's your favorite TV show? Like, you can write that down. Or what's your like go-to thing that you cook when you're like really, really hungry and don't have any time? What's your like quick and delicious meal that you cook at home or whatever? So it can be like simple things too. It doesn't have to be like a big fancy thing for sure.
Yes, they can be an expert on BTS.
Yes, or favorite music group, like whatever the case might be. It can kind of just be like simple, fun things as well, definitely. Okay, and then the next one that I have is an introduction survey. So this is when you like I love surveys. So for an introduction survey, I would have like on my paper, I would have things that I think some people in the class would say yes to, but not everybody in that class might answer yes. So I'd say maybe like, is a twin or grew up in Busan or grew up in Seoul or has a brother, lives with their grandparents, something like that, or like loves ham and pineapple pizza, plays soccer all the time. And so students have to go around the class and they have to find someone that answers yes to these questions. So for example, if I found, oh, Jennifer loves ham and pineapple pizza, so I'd write your name next to that question, and then I would ask, you have to ask a follow-up question. So I would say, oh, Jen, how often do you eat ham and pineapple pizza? And then maybe you could say like, oh, once a month. And I would write once a month kind of in the little slot next to that. So the goal for students would be to like fill up their entire grid. And then at the end of the time, I kind of get students to like go back to their seats and we kind of do like a little dislike class. Yeah, I just like say, okay, does it, so who has a twin? And then people would say, oh yeah, Jinhae has a twin. And then I would say, I'm a twin too. And then we kind of have this like fun moment, or like, who has a brother? And then like people can kind of see the commonalities in the class.
Yeah, that's a good one. And it gives them more of a purpose than, walk around and, ask them, tell me one fact about yourself,
Yes,
whatever. It's
exactly.
always good to give them a very clear purpose to the activity.
And I like that activity as well because it really sets up, I think, the rest of my semester well. Like I have the expectation. I like really am very specific about how this activity will go. I say like everyone must stand up out of their desks, and this is a one-on-one activity. So it's not like you're going with your like posse of like six people
Right.
and then finding someone, and then you go with your posse of six people to find someone else. It's like you're actually talking one on one. You're asking a follow-up question. You're writing everything in English. If you don't know how to spell their name in English, you can ask them. So I just really am very specific about what I expect to see. And then I say, like, this is only an English-speaking exercise. If you don't know something, that's okay, but you can just like try your best to make a follow-up question. Don't worry about if it's perfect, but just try your best to like make yourself understood. And so, because that's what I expect in the activities throughout the rest of the semester. So, yeah, so the sometimes I like to do this activity on the first day, just so students are like, oh, this is a serious English class. And like, this is how it's going to be. I'm going to have to talk. I'm going to have to like get out of my seat. I'm going to have to interact with people. And yeah, so it kind of just gets them ready for what's going to come.
Yeah, sets the stage for the rest of the semester. It's a good idea.
All right, Jen, let's get into the more serious things. So what do you
Yes.
have for the serious? You have like rules and classroom expectations.
Yeah, so we'll circle straight back to what you said about setting the expectations from the first class. It's really important. And the lower level your students are, the more time you need to spend on this to reap the benefits later. Very clearly modeling how an activity is going to be done, any sort of classroom expectations you have in terms of what they need to bring with them, what kind of preparations they need to do before they come to class, how they should interact or behave in class, like anything that's important to you for a well-run class, you need to let your students know and let them know in a way that they understand it. So anything that can be modeled, model it. Show them what you think a model student looks like. And the more that you focus on that in the first class, the easier the rest of the classes will be, much as starting off with a survey activity. If you want your students to speak one-on-one every day and not just have their little posse that they gaggle with over in one corner and half speak Korean and half speak English or whatever, yeah, show them what you want to see from them
And
and
so,
be
just to
clear.
get really practical here,
Yeah.
what are some of your kind of like basic rules? So, if you were teaching kids, say like an elementary school age classroom, what kind of rules would you have?
Okay, so I would have them bring their book and a pencil and an eraser and a notebook every day. Those are the things that they should have. And I know that sometimes that if they're really young, it's kind of their moms that are really doing that, but I really try to impress upon them that those are the necessary things for class. If they show up and they don't have a book or a notebook or a pencil, they're really not planning to do very much in class that day. And that will be reflected in their report card, which was usually highly motivating for some of them. Also, what to do when they needed to go to the bathroom. That's always an important thing for little kids. And the younger they are, the more flexible I would be because little kids don't always have a lot of warning. And try and, keep an open line of communication with the office. If you have a student who has some special needs, if you do have an older student who has some sort of medical condition and they may need to go to the bathroom at very short notice, or they don't feel well a lot of the time or whatever, try to find those things out. Like, the office may keep secrets from you, but ask and you shall receive sometimes. And otherwise, I prefer that students not go to the bathroom during class. If there is a 40-minute class period, then students should be able to hold it for 40 minutes. So we go over that. And if it's an emergency, I'm not going to make anybody, pee their pants. So how to ask to go to the bathroom. And, also, depending on their age, some sort of really basic stuff, like when we go to the bathroom, we wash our hands and then we come back to class, those kind of things that are just general little kid stuff. And things like water or drinks. Some students would come in every day with, like, a can of Coke or whatever, and I would let them know that they could have, a bottle of water, or they could have something with a lid that didn't have sugar in it. And the only reason I am anti-sugar is that if it spills, it makes a sticky mess. So something that would be less work for me to clean up in the event of a spill. But
Yeah, I would always say about food and drink, I was like, well, I taught adults, so I just was like, whatever. But I just gave the example of like, don't full on like have like a lunch spread out all over your desk. I was like, if you quietly want to have some like coffee or a little snack, I just said something quiet and something that's like small and like not like I just would always give the example of McDonald's, and I was like, you have your fries and your burger and your sundae and your drink. And I was just like, no, absolutely not. You can have a little small whatever you want to do. But I just said, like, I don't want everyone smelling it. I don't want everyone being distracted. Like, we're here to learn English, not have lunch in class. So yeah, that was kind of my rule, just as long as it was small and simple and no problem.
Yeah, I would let students have a snack in the room before class started. Because some of my students did go from, class to class to class to class after school, and some of the classes were they had to take a taxi, or it was not like a quick little one or two doors down situation. So I got that some of them were hungry, and even though my class was only 40 minutes, they were, pretty pressed for time. So if they wanted to have a snack before class, that was fine, but I didn't want them to be chomping on their chips and whatever during class.
It's harder for little kids to let them have snacks in class. Adults are more discreet with it, for sure. So one of my key rules that I had, probably the most important one, the one that I emphasized most, was that only one person is talking at any time in my class, like unless it's like a pair activity or a small group activity or like the survey thing, of course. But if I'm teaching, then everyone else needs to be listening. And if I ask a student a question in the class and they're talking, everyone else needs to be listening. So I was very serious about that. And just kind of the first few times it happened, if I was teaching something and someone is talking, I would stop the class and say, why are you talking right now? My rule is only one person talking. And yeah, I guess it people maybe students thought that was a bit harsh or a bit like mean, but it's hard to conduct a class when people are talking over you. And
Yes.
I just, from the very beginning, I absolutely didn't want to do that. And so I was very strict, or I always am very strict with that rule. One person talks in the class at a time. Even if it's me, if you're a classmate, if it's you want people listening to you. Like, everybody wants respect, I guess, and not to be talked over.
Exactly. Yes. And that is something, because students can be very unself-aware of exactly how clear it is that they are not paying attention. In a classroom of six, there could be a student who doesn't realize that you can see them talking. So
Yes.
you do have to make that clear,
Perception,
exactly
yeah.
what kind of behavior you want. So yeah, like, one person talking at a time. On the other hand, if you're doing small group activities, everyone needs to participate, but still, one person in the group talking at a time. You want You want all of the students to have the same respect that, you are shown and you give to the other students.
Exactly. And then cell phones is a bit of a tricky thing. I think with kids, I would say absolutely no cell phones, but with adults, I mean, you can't like take away their cell phone. Exactly. So I would say in my classes, I would just give very specific examples. I would say you can use it if you're like looking up like a word in English in your dictionary, or like sometimes we would do a little activity that needs a cell phone, something like that. But I would just say like, I don't text your boyfriend or girlfriend. And like, so I would just say like, you can have your phone on your desk, but I would always say, I want it face down. And I would show students what face down means. And I just said, leave it face down, turn it off onto silent. And there's no reason to be using your cell phone in this class unless it's a specific English class related reason. And most students were quite respectful of that. Like once I explicitly said that, I think they kind of just had like the, oh, she's actually watching me. And like there's actually a, she's serious about the cell phone thing. So yeah, and it wasn't like a huge problem actually in my classes with that once I said that.
I like that on the desk face down, because if it's on the desk and face down, you can see it and they're not having a weird fixation on their lap. Yeah, I did teach at one school that had, or not just one, all of the public schools that I taught at had the lead teacher for the class had a briefcase that when you opened it, it was nothing but slots, like a little miniature shoe organizer, but it was for cell phones. And at the beginning of the day or each class, the students had to slot their phones in according to their
Oh,
student
interesting.
number. And at the end of class, they could retrieve their phone. But of course, some students, and these were fourth graders, like 9, 10 year olds, they would just bring their old cell phone and hand that in, and then they would use their real phone to text during class.
Oh, tricky.
Yes.
Wow. All right. Well, good for them for like getting
Yes.
around the system. I like that. Okay, so that might be it for kind of rules and classroom expectations. Is there any final one that we didn't mention?
I'm sure there's lots, but yeah, just whatever classroom routines that you want students to do, in addition to rules, like there's also classroom routines, and just model them and model them again until the students understand, how you want the class to flow, So for example, if every day when they come into class, they are supposed to do some sort of bell ringer activity that you have on the board, then you need to model that they walk in and sit down and, write for 5 minutes, or, silent reading for 5 minutes, or, whatever your beginning of class routine is, and then just take them through the lesson as you flow from activity to activity. Just, model how you want the transitions to go.
Yes, exactly. And just one final thing I would say about that, about the rules in the expectations is whatever rules you set, just be sure to enforce them,
Yes.
especially at the beginning of class or like the beginning of the semester. It's a long road to go down if students don't take you seriously and don't have respect for you. So whatever you say in a positive or negative way, if you promise a pizza party, if you like say like there's no cell phones in my class, whatever that is, follow through is key to this for students taking you seriously. And once they take you seriously and know that you're a real teacher, then the rest of the semester is going to go much more smoothly. And yeah, but if students don't have basic respect for you, it's going to be impossible to get that back later, almost. Almost not always impossible, but it will be so difficult to do that.
Yes, if you set up an expectation that if they do something enough times, then you'll let it go, then they'll just see how many times it takes for you to let it go. So, yeah, you've got to enforce every rule that you have.
Yeah, and this is like kids or adults. Adults, it's the same thing. I think, yeah, they
Right.
just want to see, like, oh, how serious is she about this? Like, I don't know. There's always kind of the rule breakers, for
Yeah.
sure. So, yeah, just be
So,
serious about whatever.
yeah. So, in terms of picking your battles, consider picking your rules. Like, which rules are important for you? to enforce. And then, especially if you're a new teacher and you're not really sure what you can really do while you're still leading a lesson, you can adjust from semester to semester, but try to keep things as consistent as possible for one group of students.
For sure. All right. The final thing that I might cover in a new lesson, is like at when I was teaching in Korean universities, would be the syllabus. So, this is like an obvious like first class thing that professors or teachers or whatever would go over. So just a few words. It's not every class would need a syllabus. Sometimes you're just teaching in like a private institute, like a Hagwon in Korea, and you would just have a book, and so you just teach the first couple pages of the book or whatever. Then the next class, you teach the next couple pages of the book. So in that case, it wouldn't necessarily be like a syllabus. But yeah, at the university level, for sure it would be. So I would go over the syllabus, and just one main point about this is think about who the syllabus is for. It's for the students. It's for them to understand what's happening in your class, how they get points, what the exams are, what the assignments are, when are the due dates, that kind of thing, and what are you covering each week. So just think about making it simple. If English isn't the student's first language, so to take like say a university syllabus like you might see in a Canadian or American university and kind of like using that same language and that same kind of complicated thing, it's not actually useful for the students. So I saw just when I was teaching in Korea, there was some of my colleagues would have these very complicated syllabi, and I just felt like, who is this for? It's like I barely even understand like what's all this means. Like what are the due dates? What are the assignments? How do I get points? Like, and so yeah, make it for the students and make it as simple as possible, but still having the details in it. So yeah, just consider that carefully.
Yes, definitely. Anything that you're giving to the students should be made to be read and understood by them.
And I always thought, like, can the lowest level students in this class understand this? And if the answer was yes, then I feel like, okay, I've done a good job. Even like the lowest student can mostly understand almost all of it, then that's what I'm aiming for when it comes to like the syllabi or like just classroom like assignments and information about exams and that kind of thing. I truly want everyone to understand what they need to do to succeed in my class and what we're covering in each lesson and that kind of thing. All right. So any other final ideas, Jen, about first lesson ideas?
No ideas, just some words of encouragement that you can do this. It's if you have not taught before and you're looking at going into your first class, it's a bit nerve-wracking, but you'll get through it. You'll all get through the class just fine. And anything that goes well, make a note of, a mental note for repeating in the future. And anything that doesn't go well, consider it a learning opportunity for you, and yeah, how you can adapt it next time to be more successful.
For sure. Yes, exactly. Yeah, you can do it. And even though it seems intimidating or maybe a bit overwhelming, to start off teaching if you've never done it before, but you can do it and you will get better and better at it as the semester goes on. It's a bit of a learning curve, but yeah, probably the first couple of classes will probably be the worst ones you've had, and then it will just keep getting better from there. So yeah, don't worry about it. And yeah, don't give up for sure. All right, so please be sure to check out the book 39 ESL Icebreakers. There are lots more ideas for what you can do on the first day of class. And you can find all the podcast info at eslactivity.org/podcast. All the episodes, show notes, all the good stuff like that. And yeah, please be sure to leave us a review wherever you listen to this podcast. And yeah, thanks for listening, everyone. And we'll catch you next time.
Catch you next time.